This is the Live Well podcast, hosted by the Healthy Campus team of Wellness Services. The Live Well podcast is a series focused on the voices and experiences of our students, staff, and faculty here at MRU. We intend this series to be conversation-based, informal, and all about our MRU community's experiences and insights. This series will cover a range of topics from a range of folks at MRU, and this one today will be focusing on food and nutrition. My name is Talena Sewers. My pronouns are she and her, and I am a health promotion specialist with the Healthy Campus team. And now I'm going to pass you off to our main host today, Denica Hartwick, to lead the introductions and the rest of the discussion.
Hi, everybody. My name is Denica Hartwick. I am a peer-to-peer mental health educator and a senior lead here on campus. My pronouns are she, her, and I think I'm actually going to let the guests introduce themselves. So we'll start with you.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. I'm Rachel Timmermans. I'm your outgoing Vice President External at the Students Association of Mount Royal University, and I'm also finishing up my term as the Chair of the Council of Alberta University Students. I'm happy to be here.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lynn Lefebvre. I'm a faculty member in the Department of Health and Physical Education. My area of expertise is nutrition. So my background is a doctorate in nutrition, and I did nutrition oncology. And when I came to campus, I moved to public health nutrition. So my area specifically is early childhood nutrition and physical activity.
Awesome. Thank you guys both so much for being here today. We appreciate it. To start us off, I think I just want to ask, what do you guys see is like the biggest thing with nutrition that affects students? What do you find impacts students the most?
I think not understanding what nutrition is in a very broad sense. I think growing up, like I'm a 96 kid, so growing up in that kind of trajectory, I think so much of what we hear about is like diet culture and like losing weight. And like, I remember hearing about like the Atkins diet and like you can't have any fat and things like that. And I think that people misunderstand how much, well, it is important to like not only eat carbs and bread all day. So much more of nutrition is actually like the vitamins and the nutrients you're getting and not necessarily like how many grams of fat are in the bag of chips? Like, yeah, but how much iron is in it? How much potassium is in it? How much protein are you getting? And I think that's the biggest thing, at least in my circles, that I find people not understanding is that nutrition isn't necessarily about calories, but it's more so like, how are you properly feeding and fueling your body?
I completely understand that because that would be what's in media, right? And I think what I notice being a professor in nutrition, teaching students, especially in those sort of first 2 years, is that kids come, they're coming from university, maybe they're living on their own, and they really haven't been cooking. So they don't have a lot of skills and, you know, who needs to cook if you can go into your fridge at home and mom's made food. So now all of a sudden they're by themselves, they're having to cook food on their own, and they don't really know how to put that all together. And then they're thinking, you know, what's influencing them? Is it media? Is that how they're figuring it out? What do they focus on? Or just buying groceries because they didn't have to buy groceries either. So groceries are in the fridge and you just cooked what's there. So it's that whole putting the whole story together. What should I buy at the grocery store? Do I have money to buy food at the grocery store? What do I do with the food? It goes bad, so I don't want to buy that anymore. So, you know, like how do I feed my body? Ultimately, that's what I think.
100%. From a student perspective, you guys nailed that. I don't know how to feed myself at all. But that's why we're all here today. So how would you guys see that impact academics specifically when students aren't necessarily feeding themselves properly? Maybe they don't know how. Where's that chain reaction lead?
Well, I can share maybe a bit of my own story. So I was actually diagnosed with ADHD going into my third year of university. So I started medication. Part of the side effects is that you like lose your appetite. Like the sensation of hunger is just gone. And I didn't understand how much that would impact me like until I got through the year a little bit. And I realized I was losing weight like crazy. And I was wondering why I was so grumpy all the time. I was super emotional. I didn't have any energy to get anything done. Like I struggled to pay attention in class. And it wasn't until my mom stopped me and she was like, okay, what is going on? You are so small. Like, what is happening? And I was like, oh, like, it's been kind of hard to eat. Like, I've been busy. I haven't been paying attention to how much I've been eating. And I realized that I'd been drastically underfeeding myself. I was eating probably like 800 calories a day. It was so, so low. And I ended up having to see a dietitian who, I mean, it was the best advice I ever could have heard. She just told me, add extra fat to everything you eat. So like extra bacon on your burgers, extra whipped cream on your coffee. She's like, if you're not eating, like you just need to get the calories in your body. And that, like just getting the calories in made me realize how much not having enough food impacted every aspect of my life, because I just didn't want to do anything. I didn't even have the energy to go make proper food. And so once I started just getting basic calories, I then kind of like, literally, you feel like you're waking up and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm out of this dream state now. And yeah, I guess like, so how it impacts academics is I think if you're not eating enough, like you are not being your best self. It's like leaving your house with 1% charge on your phone every day. It's like, yeah, you might get through, but you might not. And it's best to just make sure you have that fuel, I think, when you start your day rather than risking it and adding to the stress that can come.
Definitely. And so in class, so for you, that was medication. And for somebody else, it might be media, what you talked about. And for somebody else, it just might be they don't want to cook. They don't know how to grocery shop, what we talked about before. But no matter what it is, if you aren't giving yourself all the calories, apathy is a really clear sign that you're not getting enough energy. So that idea about fueling, if you don't fuel that vehicle that is your body, you are not going to get where you want to go. So that's just basic, you know, energy. And then when we talk about the quality of that energy, because sometimes you might be eating carbohydrates, but they're not, you know, the carbohydrates that will fuel your body well, like donuts, carbohydrates, fat, maybe not the best for studying. You know, whole grains, whole food. Like if we think about food that will help us with academics, we want to sort of pull away from processed food. We want to pull away from simple carbohydrates like candies and sugars. They feel good in the moment, but the long-lasting effects are not good for academics. So if we kind of push towards those whole foods, which means we have to start thinking about how to cook and how to put food together. And I was the worst when I left my house. I didn't know how to cook anything. My mother did all the cooking, and I came from a very French family that knew, you know, good quality food, and I couldn't do anything. As soon as I learned that cookbooks were basically lab instructions, I could follow that. Mm-hmm. And I could do that. And then the grocery shopping and all those pieces and trying to think about little tips. But yeah, so for my tip for academics would be make sure you get enough energy and make sure that the energy you're getting is going to be good for your brain so you can think all day.
I think those are really good tips.
Those are fantastic tips. Thank you, guys. So I guess like on that, whole foods, good for energy. Do you have any good study snacks you guys think, you know, good for us, good for our brains, something that will push us through, give us energy?
Sure. So I'll start. So I'm thinking I'm a student and I don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of energy. And so you might reach for that processed granola bar. But maybe you think, I'll take something kind of like a granola bar, like an orange. It's in a packaging. It's easy to grab. You might have to wash your hands after a little bit, but, you know, or an apple. Cut your apple up. I used to do this for my kids. Cut your apple up, sprinkle a little bit of lemon juice on it, put it all back together, and then put it into like a nice resealable bag, and then take that. Or things that will fuel you, give you all of those nutrients Rachel was talking about, make sure you're thinking about nutrients. And if you have a granola bar, you know, you got to have backup. And, you know, we're not even thinking about some young humans who are trying to gain weight. And they need to add calories. So they're just going to have to, like you said, Rachel, add different things to your plate that are going to help increase your calorie intake. So what could you do? You could have those granola bars, but you could also have an apple and an orange and fruit and the vegetables that might add to the nutrients and balance out some of the calories that you need to have to keep that brain active.
And I think another tip that I'll have is, especially I find if I'm having cravings for things like chips or I want something unhealthy, going for like a cheese and pepperoni snack instead of eating a bag of chips, it's not the best for you, but at least you're getting some protein in there, some healthier fats rather than eating chips. And so that's what I find is my trick is like, instead of sticking myself in this box of everything I need to eat needs to be the healthiest, greenest thing I've ever seen, I just think like, what's the in-between? Like instead of going to Dairy Queen for a burger, maybe I'll go to Jugo Juice. It's still not the best thing for you, but it is like one step better than just eating like complete junk food. And that's kind of how I found my balance line going through university is rather than creating my own barrier of saying I need to eat healthy food and then not eating food because I can't get access to like a giant salad, I just try and find like the best possible option that's available to me at the time and kind of go with that.
That's a really good point. You know, I think it's like, don't say no to the chips, buy a smaller bag of chips and add the other things to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because when we deny ourselves for how long? And then, you know, as the evening gets late and we're studying and, you know, then we're like, I'll just have 18 bags of those chips. So it's like, yeah, you yes. know what I mean? So it's not the denial. It's the addition of and moderation of those items. Yeah, that's a really good point, Rachel.
Absolutely. The amount of times I'm like, oh, I'll just put off eating. I'll eat something healthy when I get home. And then I don't get home for like 8 hours. And I'm like, oh my God, I haven't eaten today. It's just because it's like, oh, I don't want to eat that Dairy Queen burger or a giant bag of chips, but those are my only options right now. But I like that, the addition of like something else too. It's everything in moderation, right? Nutrition isn't necessarily diets or that. It's all about balance. I really like that. Speaking on balance, maybe we can talk about water intake and the importance of that on our academics.
Sure, I can jump in on water. So sometimes, you know, fatigue is a hard thing for a student to feel, right? We feel, I say we because I still feel like I'm studying. But, you know, with water, one of the signs of dehydration is fatigue. And so if you're tired, you'll often think, oh, well, what can I do to bump up my energy? So just drinking water can help you sort of push off fatigue. So that's a really important piece of that. And if you're hydrated, all kinds of other things are really working well for you, right? Your eyes don't feel dry. Your mouth doesn't feel as dry. I don't know what else to say about that. But so water intake would be really valuable. So trying to spread the water throughout the day, though. Sometimes I see people chugging water, right? So a lot of water in and then, you know, so spreading the water throughout the day and then choosing water to drink over a soda. If you're desperately wanting a soda, have a soda, but, you know, make it moderate, make it smaller, and then drink water as your, you know, drink of choice. I think Mount Royal's done a really good job of putting water, whatever.
Like fillers.
Whatever, stations. Yeah. Like, yeah. So you can use your refillable water bottles, and you can kind of grab water almost anywhere you want, and you're able to drink water. It can kind of keep you awake.
And something I always like to do is every time I have something that dehydrates me, like a soda or coffee specifically, I have a glass of water with that. So like for every cup of coffee I have a cup of water. So at least it kind of cancels each other out a little bit. It makes me feel better about it. I don't know if it actually does anything, but it makes me feel better.
So coffee or caffeine, the caffeine in coffee, mm-hmm. is only dehydrating if it's a new thing for you. So I'm pretty careful with how much coffee I drink because I'm caffeine sensitive. And it dehydrates you, but you acclimatize to coffee. So people who drink, you know, a cup a day, they get accustomed to that in about 4 days. And then if you have 2 cups a day, you know, Health Canada says like 400 milligrams is the upper limit. And, you know, for developing brains, I would say be careful with coffee. And if you drink a lot of coffee, you're going to need a lot of coffee on a regular basis. And then when you don't drink that coffee, you get headaches. So yes, it's important to drink that water, but that coffee is not dehydrating you if it's the coffee that you would normally drink within reason.
Interesting.
The pod or 2 pods a day, that's starting to get excessive.
It's the student life.
I mean, I'll just second that of the importance of drinking water. I know that I can be bad for it, but I feel like I have been so overly dehydrated enough that I know I truly understand the benefits of being hydrated. Because as was mentioned, the fatigue that you can experience from dehydration, I think, often can also be associated with hunger. If you assume that you are hungry and that's why you're tired, then maybe you'll try and eat something and it doesn't help and you're all confused why you're still tired and hungry. But it's actually because you're quite dehydrated and you need probably quite a bit of water to top yourself back up. And that's become my new go-to if I'm feeling like apathetic and sluggish, is rather than reaching for something to munch on first, it's like, well, let's try drinking a glass of water and see how that makes me feel. And then if I'm still hungry after that, then maybe I'll go look for an apple or something like that.
And, you know, sometimes people have a hard time holding on to their water. They say, I drink water and then it's leaving so quickly. So some tricks are to have food that is high in water, but it'll sit in your stomach and hold on to. So celery is a really handy It kind of is a really great, if we're going to talk about it, study treat. It doesn't sound like a treat. But it hydrates you because it has high water content. It sits in your stomach. It doesn't just leave. Liquids typically leave it about 20 minutes out of your stomach. So if you're dehydrated, it's very helpful. So now we have some celery, some carrots. I hear them crunch in my head. You know, it makes some noise. So that might be a great study treat. It might not be fun, so we can add our fun things to go with it. But yeah, from a water perspective, you can get about, you know, 20% of your water intake just from fruits and vegetables.
Wow. I do that a lot with oranges, specifically like when I work out. I feel like it gives me the sugar, the hydration, gives me a little bit of everything. So I never think about celery and like cucumbers, though. They're all water. Why not? It's crunchy water.
Watermelon?
Summer's coming up.
Do melon?
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a big fruit person now. Okay, so even speaking on fruits and vegetables, right now those are quite pricey. It might be hard for a student to afford those right now. You know, 97 cents Robin is always way easier than a $6 orange. Do you guys have any advice on that? Or Rachel, you might have maybe something Samru does.
Absolutely, yeah. So Samru has a lot of really great services. One of my favorites that I like to utilize is the Good Food Box program. So this is something that's not only available at Mount Royal, but we are a ordering and pickup depot. You can get essentially their boxes of fruit and vegetables. And so they distribute these boxes about once a month. And there's three sizes. So you can get, it's like 15, 25, or 35 pounds of fruits and vegetables. And the cheapest box is $25. The most expensive box, I believe, is $40. And you can get a really, really good amount of fruits and vegetables for a very, very low price. And you don't have to go to the grocery store. They pick it all out for you. You just come pick it up from Samru. And that's been kind of how I've managed to keep my grocery bills reasonable. Like, you don't get as much choice because you don't pick exactly what you're getting. But I like it because you don't have to pick. And then you just get to find recipes based on what's in the box.
Yeah, I get very overwhelmed picking up the grocery store sometimes. So right? That's cool.
And then as well, just a few more items. If students are looking just for something to eat in the morning, we do have the free breakfast program. So from 8:30 until about noon, we just have free breakfast. We have oatmeal. We do have granola bars, yogurt, juice boxes. If you just need something to top yourself up in the morning. We also have the food and hygiene cupboard. If you need food for dinner tonight or for the week, or if you need some hygiene supplies, you're welcome to just come by and pick yourself some stuff out of the cupboard. We're also a pickup spot for the Interfaith Food Bank if you need like a food hamper for the month. And coming in the fall, we are going to be having Samru food lockers, I believe we're calling them. So there's going to be a few spaces throughout the university where we're going to have like a microwave, a little fridge, and then a pantry where students can come pick up anything from like a week-sized food hamper to just pre-made meals. If you need a sandwich, you want a salad. We're going to have some food just ready to take and go for students, whether it's a single meal or groceries for a week. And then we'll also have hygiene supplies available in this cupboards as well.
That's awesome. And where is Samru located?
So Samru is in the Wickham House Student Center. So if you're familiar where security is, we're just the hallway right behind security. And then once you go into that building is actually owned by the Student Association, and every student helps pay our mortgage. So that is a building that is run by students for students, and that is your student center. And we have lots of services and supports available for you if you come say hello.
Amazing. Thank you.
So one of my best tips would be for, you said the Good Food Box cost. Look for frozen that doesn't have any added sugar or any added fat, just frozen. And often what will happen is when they pick the fruits and vegetables, which don't grow hugely in Canada, they pick them at the peak of freshness. So their nutrient value is really high. So you pick them and they get flash frozen and they're shipped to you in freezers. So they're usually really good from a nutritional value perspective. And then they stay in the freezer until you're ready to use them. So sometimes food sits in your fridge and it goes bad. And food can go bad in the freezer too. So you do have to kind of process the food. But so that can be my tip, is that try some frozen.
I love that. I'm anemic and I have really bad issues. So I keep frozen spinach in my freezer at all times. Just like a block of frozen spinach, and you rip it off because spinach just gets so small when you cook it, right? You just take a little chunk, throw it in literally anything. It's spinach, doesn't taste like anything. Throw it in and it helps my iron intake. Never goes bad, because if I get a bag of spinach, it wilts after 50 seconds of it being in my fridge. But yeah, I totally love that frozen aspect. Like, people don't process. They're like, frozen's bad for you. But it's like, it's not.
It's not.
It's convenient.
It's often better because they pick it at peak ripeness.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even process that you get more nutrients the fresher it is, I guess. And it's fresher if you
picked at that point. Now, Danica, you're having the spinach. You have low iron. Okay. What else should you eat with your spinach if you took my class?
I never took a nutrition class. Have I had a test?
So iron from vegetable sources isn't as easily absorbed. So there's something that you can eat with it. You'll absorb it more efficiently.
Oh, please
it's
share.
Like a, it's like a test question in nutrition. I'm giving away test questions
I thought
now.
The semester was over.
It is exam season.
Okay. So vitamin C. If you are eating your, and I do love spinach, especially like quickly cooked. If you are eating spinach, do you add something with vitamin C?
I do a lot of lemon juice. Does that have vitamin C?
It does. What else could you do with your spinach? You don't want to eat it with oranges because it's cooked. Bell peppers. You'd be surprised. Really? So I know we eat a lot of oranges and we think vitamin C. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you don't have to have oranges. If you don't like oranges, don't do it. Like, I would say a half of a bell pepper will give you as much vitamin C as you need for the entire day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, something else I was going to say. Something I find I struggle with a lot with nutrition is planning. I am not a planner. I am a busy student. I work full time. I go to school full time. I don't know, do 17 things full time. And eating is not one of them. And so finding that time, like, on a Sunday, let's say, to plan my week of food, it's not something I want to do. I don't know what I want to eat at Wednesday at 1:30. Like, I want to figure that out on Wednesday at 1:30. So do you guys have any advice on that, maybe? Like, how to balance nutrition without the planning, or something convenient for students?
I'm going to say when I'm at my best, not when I'm, you know, I'm not always at this level, but when I'm at my best, what I generally do for lunches every day is I just eat the same thing so I don't have to think about it. So every morning I will have a protein shake. So I'll do like frozen fruit, yogurt. I add olive oil because I do need those calories. And then I also do greens, like powdered greens. So yeah, fruit, frozen yogurt, greens, and olive oil. And then usually water or milk, and mix that all up, and that'll be my breakfast every morning. And then every day for lunch, I'll do a bag of vegetables. So I'll take like cucumbers, peppers, broccoli is a big one because I find it very filling. And I'll cut them up at the beginning of the week. So like whenever I do my shopping, like it's not always on the weekend, but whatever day, I just like, for me, I keep that momentum of having been out of the house. And I'm just like, I wash everything, I cut it all up, I put it into sandwich bags. And then I just take like a stuffed sandwich bag full of veggies for lunch. And it's not always enough. Like sometimes I'll have to pick up something else to top myself up. But I know I have food that will fill me, that will be good for me when I want it. And it's easy to access because like I can munch on it in class. I can munch on it, you know, on the bus. And that's my go-to.
So I totally get it. I hate thinking about what I'll eat on Wednesday. I have no idea who that person is and what they want. But the problem is, let's say lunch is at 1:30. I start to get hungry at 1:28. And that's not a lot of time to cook or prepare food or have anything with me. So your point, Rachel, of having kind of boring, kind of like I eat this in the morning and this at lunch, kind of takes you through. So you just sort of have to get over the, what does Lynn on Wednesday want to eat? To, you know, Lynn needs to eat and so she just better. So there are a couple of things. So for me, I do oatmeal in the morning with peanut butter. So looking to get a little bit of protein in your morning, oatmeal sort of will sit and digest slowly. Look for whole grains. I add chia seeds because it creates a gel and so it leaves my stomach slower. And then the other one is the overnight oats, you know, like where you can put them in the jar, you can add the fruit, you know, you separate it out and it looks really pretty. It's a lot of work for me. And then I would say that things that you would like, peanut butter and whatever, and then you just sort of add fruit to it. Peanut butter, if you eat bread, and then fruit. Be boring, but be organized. And then, yeah, supplement with what you need.
I have a locker tip. If you have a locker, my go-to is if, and it's not the most sustainable tip, I'll keep that in mind, but you can make it more sustainable. But essentially, keep a bag of apples in your locker and either like individual packets of peanut butter or like a jar of peanut butter. And then it's just like the easiest go-to snack. Like you can just take a spoonful of peanut butter if you want, or if you're feeling fancy, you can cut up your apple into slices. But that's a really good go-to.
I keep a big jar of peanut butter in my office. It's very
That's
true.
So smart.
It's true.
I keep like a box of Clif Bars in my car, but
that works.
I like the peanut butter jar thing. It's kind of smart.
If your friend has a dog, you always have treats. Like,
wait, that's how I get the therapy dogs to come to me. I get it. I love that.
Don't forget that, like, if you are ever hungry and you are on campus, SAMRU will feed you. We will get you food, whether or not you have money. Like, we just want to take care of students. We are here to support students to help them succeed. And so anything you need, come on by. If you don't know what services you need, stop by the Peer Support Center and there'll be another student who can help tell you about the services that SAMRU provides and show you where all the free food is.
And where's the Peer Support Center?
The Peer Support Center is on the second floor of Wickham House Student Center. So Wickham House is right behind, or it's the hallway beside security. You go all the way down the hallway, up the first set of stairs you see to the right, and you'll find either SAMRU Reception or the Peer Support Center. They're both over there.
Amazing. So I will suggest to everybody to definitely stop by SAMRU if you get a chance. You're hungry. You're not hungry, but you're curious. Go look by. And I want to thank both our guests for being here today. Appreciate you guys a lot. It was a great conversation. And I will close us off then.